any interest in looking at bevacizumab in the neoadjuvant setting? You know, MD Anderson has a trial looking at that. There's been some provocative work that came out of Boston, a little pilot study looking at that.
Yes, I think there's a great deal of interest in further improving neoadjuvant treatment beyond what we can achieve with chemotherapy. And I think there are a number of very interesting biological molecules that could be considered here, bevacizumab being one of those. And certainly Chris Willett's pilot data that came out of Mass General when he was there is very provocative. You have to be cautious with the amount of bevacizumab combining with chemotherapy and radiation and so on. But with a tolerable dose level was identified, it'll be very interesting to see what the phase 2 data show here. And I think combining anti-angiogenic therapy with chemoradiation is one of the concepts that we should be thinking about for the next national neoadjuvant trial in rectal cancer. Also, the use of cetuximab or perhaps panitumumab in this setting would be very interesting too, because as you know, in locally advanced head and neck cancer, the addition of cetuximab to radiation therapy has greatly improved local control and improved survival without increasing the severity of mucositis. So I think it's a study that's demonstrated proof of principle that an anti-EGFR molecule given with radiation can greatly enhance the degree of local control and have a real impact. And so there are a number of studies now that are either ongoing or about to be initiated, adding cetuximab or panitumumab to pelvic irradiation and chemotherapy. So I think over the next year or two, there'll be a number of pilot studies looking at these various biologicals added to chemoradiation. And I think that we hope that one or more of these pilot studies will show to be tolerable, show an improvement in the pathologic complete response rates, provide solid data for the next national randomized trial. We now have really a full agenda of clinical trials in colorectal cancer within the NSABP. We have C08, which is completing and are planning C11 as a colon adjuvant study, as we've been discussing. We've recently opened a clinical trial that we call No Scars. It's basically for patients that present with metastatic disease who have an unresected primary tumor. And there's been a great debate in the medical literature which patients really would benefit from having the primary resected, and about half of the surgeons will resect the primary tumor before giving chemotherapy to avoid the problems of obstruction or bleeding. The other half of the surgeons will wait until there's some complication because the major issue is wanting to treat the metastatic disease early on. Treatment is improved with the addition of bevacizumab to oxaliplatin-based chemotherapy, so we're going to do a phase 2 study of the FOLFOX6 regimen plus bevacizumab in these patients, with the primary endpoint being to monitor with now modern chemotherapy what really are the local complication rates that occur over time, and this may inform decisions about the indications for resecting the primary tumor. We also just opened a protocol, C09, which is looking at postoperative adjuvant therapy for patients with colorectal liver metastases that have been completely resected or ablated. And here we're using the CAPOX regimen as postoperative adjuvant therapy with or without hepatic arterial infusion of FUDR to try to demonstrate whether we can see an improvement in disease-free survival by adding the FUDR, intrahepatic FUDR, to a more active oxaliplatin-based regimen, and that study just opened. And we've discussed R04 in addition. Another development, Neil, is that we've developed what we call our Foundation Research Program, which focuses on phase 2 clinical trials. And we were talking about rectal neoadjuvant therapy a moment ago, and in the near future we will be embarking on a trial using induction chemotherapy with a CAPOX regimen plus panitumumab, and then following the systemic chemotherapy, giving combined modality treatment, pelvic irradiation, capecitabine, and panitumumab, and then allowing patients to go on to surgical resection if their tumors become resectable. And the group of patients that we're going to study here are those not eligible for our R04 protocol. That is, they have fixed tumors that can't be surgically resected, they've recurred following local excision, or they have limited metastatic disease but have an unresected primary that requires palliative treatment.
It's interesting. You have this study as well as the CO9 study that's actually just using CAPOX as a fluoropyrimidine plus oxali as opposed to 5-FU. Mm-hmm. And yet on the rectal study, you're trying to compare the two. So it's kind of like some of these seem to have jumped over that.
Yes. And the reason that we included CAPOX in the systemic arms of the CO9 protocol is based upon a number of phase 2 studies that show objective tumor response rates in the 50% range with the regimen. I think FOLFOX would have been a very reasonable alternative in this situation as well.
There's another foundation study that's going on too, isn't there?
There's another protocol where we're going to be looking at the CAPOX versus CAPIRI regimen with bevacizumab. And with bevacizumab added to each of these two regimens, a randomized phase 2 trial, CAPOX versus CAPIRI, bevacizumab given in both arms of the trial. You might ask, well, why are we interested in doing that when there have been so many European studies looking at these regimens? And the reason is that there seems to be quite a difference in the tolerability of fluorinated pyrimidines, including capecitabine, between European populations and the populations in the United States. And so our thinking was that providing some additional efficacy data and tolerability data with specific regimens in the U.S. may be helpful in judging whether capecitabine should be officially approved by the Food and Drug Administration to be given in combination with bevacizumab.